Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
And again, we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus. He is the Savior of sinners, the Redeemer of sinners, and He can cleanse the vilest sinner and make the vilest sinner clean. I pray that you will think about what the Lord is able to do, how He works, and the power of the blood. That's why we preach the blood. There is no cleansing apart from the blood of Christ. God still sees your sin if you have not come to this fountain of cleansing. Your sins are open and naked unto the eyes of God, and you are still guilty and condemned before Him if you have not put your faith and trust in the finished work of Christ. That's so important for you to know now. That's the difference between eternal life and eternal damnation. Have you trusted Christ? Have you received Him? Have you trusted in His work on the cross? That's where your salvation is. And Romans chapter 8 tells us now this, that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now, if you're in Christ, your sins are gone. If you are trusting in your good works, then the Lord is not going to accept you because you did not accept His Son. We'll be saying more about that later on. But I do want to bid you to trust Christ today. You are a religious person. Perhaps you joined the church when you were very young. And perhaps you've done many things in your church. And perhaps you've even done what you will call made sacrifices to the church. And your name might be affixed to the church, but that is not what the Lord is going to look for when He looks at you. He does not see your works. He sees whether your faith, whether or not you put your faith and trust in Christ. Remember, we've talked about this on some programs, and maybe you're a first-time listener. The book of the Revelation tells us in chapter 20 that there are those who are trusting in their works, and the Lord does not challenge them about the works that they've done. And that's one of the reasons why when you hear the song, people say, "Let my works speak for me." Perhaps I think I know what they're saying. They are saying, by the life I've lived, you can tell whether or not I'm trusting Christ. But I still don't like that, because it's putting the focus to me on the wrong in the wrong place. Let my works speak for me? No, I want the Lord Jesus to speak for me. He is the one who intercedes. There is nowhere in the Scriptures where you will find hope in saying, "Let my works speak for me." The focus is on the wrong one. The focus ought to be on Christ. He that hath the Son hath life. Him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. The one who has put his faith and trust in the Father, in the Son, will be revealed and made known unto the Father. Now, your works, compare your works again with what God Himself has done. Are you boasting in your works? It's equivalent to a little two-year-old wanting to show you how much he can do and how high he can jump. He leans forward, thrusts his hands out behind him, and with all of his might, he leaps hard with all of his might, comes off the floor, and he's 2 inches, and he looks up at you and says, "Look what I did." Well, that's the way it is with people who feel like God ought to be pleased with their works. You haven't done anything. You haven't done a single thing. You need to receive Christ in order to be right with God. Now, Father, we ask for your blessings today. We pray that thy Spirit will be upon us. I pray for the power of God to minister the word today. Glorify thyself at this hour, for Jesus' sake. Amen. In the book of John, chapter 15 now, the scriptures tell us where the Lord says, "But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake." Now, it is not that people hate you because of your name's sake, but they're doing what they do. The world hates you because of Christ's name. And that's one of the reasons why you can have anything. You can have soapbox races. And you go and you say, "We're going to have a group of Christians who race soapboxes." Now you'll get persecution for that. You can say, "We're going to have a baseball team." That's no problem. "But we'll have a Christian baseball team." Then you have problems. Because the name of Christ is hated by the world, and that ought to tell the world something. Why is it that the world hates the name of Christ? Why is it that the world doesn't mind if someone practices witchcraft, if they practice homosexuality, if they practice any other kind of vile, wicked sin? They say, well, to each his own thing. But if you start naming the name of Christ, you don't be trying to force me to become a Christian, or don't be spreading your religion around here. Now, if you tell them that you become a Hindu or a Buddhist or a Confucianist or a Taoist or something else, they won't bother you. But you tell them you have become a Christian. You tell them that you're trusting Christ. Then you watch the persecution come. You tell them you've become a Muslim. That's no problem. You tell them you've become a Christian. You will run into problems. You can talk about your religion, your politics in your workplace, but you tell them you've become a Christian, you're going to run into problems. You don't mind telling people that you are a member of such and such a club, you don't, or association, or have a membership in such and such a thing, but are you bold enough to tell them that you put your faith and trust in Christ and to give your testimony of having trusted Christ? Have you done that? Are you willing to do that? So many times, it's so easy to tell them of your achievements, to tell them what your organization has done. And when it comes time to telling them what Christ has done, and what he did on the cross, and how that he died for sinners, how that he will receive sinners, and how that he changed your life, you find it difficult. You can get an elevator and boast on your children, your grandchildren, meet strangers, and talk about, and I'm in the same category, and we can talk about every kind of thing. When it comes to the matter of wanting to present Christ, is this the right moment? Should I tell them this? Or how are they going to receive this? But if you, and these men who have their football teams, I listen to the young men, not only young, but older men now. And when they're talking about a football team, and if it's their team, they'll say, "Now, we have chosen such and such a player," or "We had a bad day." And that football team has no more idea who they are than if there's a man in the moon. And yet they're boasting about, "We did this, and we won, and we lost," or "We fumbled a lot." We, what do you mean, we? You're not a part of that team. Ask them, name the name of Christ. Now, you can say, "We Christians," and you can be, and the Lord Jesus knows you. He knows your need. As a Christian, you can say, "We have a certain hope. We have an intercessor in heaven. We have the Word of God." You can say that and be telling the truth. And know that when you make this statement, the one of whom you speak knows you. But you can brag on your quarterback or your basketball player or your golf game or your tennis match, and you can identify with a player and say that you're a part of that team, and that team doesn't even miss you. If you don't look at the game and don't cheer for them, you're not going to hurt them. But with Christ, if you don't serve him, if you don't make known his name, if you don't lift up his name, and if you're not faithful, why, you will hurt the cause of Christ. If you don't witness for him, if you do witness for him, others are going to be blessed. And Christ the Lord tells us that there is rejoicing in the presence of angels of the angels in heaven. The Lord knows what you're doing. When you are out there faithfully serving him, he knows you. But look at how that people will identify with something that doesn't care about them and will reject the one who has shown his love so much so until he's willing to die, and he did do that for our sins, arose from the dead, and is alive right now. That's what the Lord wants us to know and to do. We're trusting in Christ, the living God, and he's the one who has all power. And men and women get in fights because of their team, because someone is beating them in a political battle, and they are willing to go to war because of some small matter. But when it comes to proclaiming or defending the truth, we'll be silent. That's the way man is. Human nature brags on something that it has control of and will say to the living God, now, you know, we don't want to be fanatic about this thing. And whenever they are for a team, they will buy their T-shirts, buy their sweatshirts, buy bumper stickers and license plates and all kinds of clothing, buy rings and shoes, but they don't want to be a fanatic for the Lord, for the living God. Now, if you don't cheer, as I said, if you don't cheer for that team, they won't miss you. They will not miss you. You're sitting there watching that. And then there are many who will be bitter and vile toward their family when their team loses. And they will be excited and happy when the team wins. And that team goes right on. But Christ the Lord rewards faithfulness. And he chastens us when we are disobedient. Now, the world doesn't want this kind of God. The world wants a God like their sports figures, that they can say, this is ours. This is what we are like. And they can decide, well, I think I'll drop this team and pick up another. I'm glad that the Lord, once he saves a soul, you don't want to drop him. You don't want to abandon him. You don't want to forsake him. Now, if you do fall into sin and backslide, it's because you were bewitched. You were deceived. It's because an enemy has come in and you stopped your personal communion with him. You stop praying, stop fellowshipping with the saints. You stop witnessing for Christ. You stop reading the Word of God. You stop meditating. You start lusting. You start harboring in your heart wicked thoughts and wicked deeds, and so this takes you away. The world hates you when you live a life like Christ. They love you when you get in the slush and the slime and the slop and go in the direction they're going, go downstream, headed to the waterfall of destruction and damnation. They love you. They want you. They love that company. Father, we pray that thy Spirit will turn someone around today. Help us, we ask, in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Join us again for another program of Light for the Pathway.